the lesson from Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. If your name is Andrew or Andre or Drew or Andrea, today is your name day. November 30th, St. Andrew's Day, commemorates the life and martyrdom of one of the 12 disciples, Andrew, brother of Simon Peter, a fisherman. Advent, coincidentally, always begins on the Sunday closest to this day. The symbol for St. Andrew is an X-shaped cross because tradition tells us that he was put to death in this way because of his faith in Jesus. But not only those of you who share your name with St. Andrew, but all of us have a connection to this disciple of Jesus. We might not suffer martyrdom and crucifixion, but we will suffer some form of persecution in our life because of our faith in Christ. We will also die someday, as do all humans. But Paul reminds us here in our text that we have already died with Christ in our baptism. All our sins have been drowned, and we arise to new life in him. Paul says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Andrew, like us, was not sinless. Like all Jesus' disciples, he had times of doubt and fear. He fled when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He hid in that upper room when he thought all hope was lost after Jesus' crucifixion. We also have doubts and fears. We try to hide from other people and from God. But Andrew had been a follower of John the Baptist. He was baptized. We are baptized. We share that as well. And in our baptism, we rise to new life in Christ. In baptism, the Holy Spirit fills our heart with faith and makes heaven our new homeland. As Paul says here, that baptism hides our life in Christ. Our life now is in Christ. We belong to him. And this happens because of what we are now anticipating in this Advent season, Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. By Jesus becoming a man, becoming human, he becomes our brother. He can take our place, take our sins on himself, and be our substitute. But because he is also the eternal Son of God, his death covers more than just the sins of one person, but the sins of the whole world. He becomes our Savior as well, by living a sinless life in our place, dying the death that our sins deserve, and rising powerfully that third day. He also ascended into heaven and now prepares a place for us to be with him for eternity. This should cause us to keep looking up when we know that our Lord has promised he will return. He will come again. He came on earth first as the child of Bethlehem. He comes among us now through word and sacraments, the means of grace. And on judgment day, he will come again to take us to live with him in heaven. That's what our life is, our life hid in Christ with God. That is what Christians always look forward to, where our eyes and heart and mind are set. So St. Paul urges us and reminds us, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. But that is so hard for us to do. We have to be concerned about earthly things and take care of them. We have to have food and shelter and clothing, education, tests, papers, family, friends, Christmas preparations. But God helps us with all of them. And Paul tells us that we must not ignore these things, but that our main focus is on Christ who will return from heaven. Jesus will return, and that means we must be ready for his return. Are you ready? Being ready doesn't mean ignoring the things of this life, but treasuring heavenly things more highly. Being ready does not mean being sinless, because that we can never be, but it means to struggle against sin every day, to repent when we do sin, and to trust in God's forgiveness through Christ. Being ready means that our heart belongs to Jesus, but our heart is impure, as Pastor Friedfeld in The Hammer of God learns. He thinks at first that he has such a powerful faith. "I'm a believer, sir. I have given my heart to Jesus." And the older pastor responds and teaches him, "Is that something worth giving to God? Is your heart so pure? One does not choose a redeemer for oneself, you understand, nor give one's heart to him. The heart is a rusty old can on a junk heap, a fine gift indeed. But a wonderful Lord passes by, has mercy on that wretched tin can, rescues it from the junk pile, and takes it home with him. That's how it is. Even though we are rusty tin cans, God has mercy on us, chooses us, rescues us, and takes us home. Jesus makes our heart his own, as we sing in today's hymn and in that favorite Christmas verse, "Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee." Sometimes it is hard to seek things above, but God brings them down to us where we can touch and taste and see them. The child in the manger, the waters that wash away our sins, the body and blood of Christ that purchased our salvation. Christ, who is our life, has appeared on earth in these ways. And Paul reminds us that he will appear again at the end of time. And he says, "You also will appear with him in glory." Christ has the glory of God. Christ is the glory of God, and we shall see him face to face for all eternity. These are the tidings, the news of comfort and joy for life here on earth and for our eternal life. We will appear in glory because Christ is our life and salvation. And that is why we will join the angels and all the saints in singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.